Before we get started, I want to thank Pinterest for supporting our podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domino's new podcast, Design Time, where we explore spaces and places with meaning. I'm your host, Jessica Romperez, Domino's editor-in-chief. Each week, join me along with creative visionaries who will share their journey to designing spaces that move you. We'll explore the emotional side of design, from the ritual of gathering to a mood-boosting paint trick to the renovation tips that will inspire your next project. Home is the best place to start exploring personal style. How do you shape your world from the inside out? Let's discover now on Design Time. Aya Kanai's distinct style and perspective comes from years at the helm of some of fashion's most exciting publications and brands, and her creative approach leans on her decisive instinct that's as artful as it is personal. Leveraging her experience first as an editor on the launch team at Teen Vogue, and then at places like Nylon, Cosmopolitan, and more recently as the editor-in-chief of Marie Claire, her new role as the head of content and editorial partnerships puts Aya at the helm of an exciting new initiative at Pinterest. Pinterest is prioritizing creators, putting people at the heart of the platform, and honoring the personalities that drive the ideas and pins that will become the trends that everyone talks about. And what is the life cycle of a trend? Aya understands what causes a trend to really take off and how to stay ahead of that curve, and is always looking for the next big idea. I'm so excited to share my conversation with Aya with all of you. Aya Kanai, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited and I cannot wait to hear how you're leading the direction for content at Pinterest.
Thank you so much for having me. I was feeling a little bit not worthy of being on this podcast because I have been a longtime listener and I have learned about so much. I'm always like scribbling down notes of stores and materials and designers that I had never heard of. So I'm always learning stuff from this podcast and I hope that I can offer insights to your listeners.
Of course. And the goal is to capture your personal inspirations. And I know you have a lot. So first of all, tell me a little bit about your role at Pinterest, how long you've been there, and it's just so exciting to see the growth on that platform and the directions you're taking it.
Yeah, thank you. So I've been at Pinterest for almost a year, and for anyone, I feel like people who listen to Design Time know about Pinterest, but for anyone who doesn't, Pinterest has over 475 million monthly active users, and Pinterest is a visual inspiration platform. It's also about 10 years old, so it has been a growing ecosystem, and there are truly hundreds of billions of pieces of content on Pinterest. What was really exciting to me last year was that we saw a 40% increase of men and Gen Z using our platform. So our platform has diversified a lot. So yes, we do reach 80% of US moms, which is probably not shocking. But our platform has diversified a lot, and it's a visual inspiration platform for you to plan everything from how to set up your work from home office, which everyone did last year, to how to cook Brussels sprouts, like what's your next tattoo, outfit inspiration for your job interview. These are all really great use cases for Pinterest. And also we've seen a lot of searches for entrepreneurial moments. So how to start a podcast and, you know, searches like that have been really popular on our platform. People starting their own businesses also use Pinterest to find inspiration.
We know, because we track it very closely, just the growth that the platform saw during the pandemic, not just in the types of users, but just the sheer volume. Would love to hear you talk about that, because you started very shortly thereafter. Were you already talking to them about the job when the pandemic started?
I started talking to them, in like late summer, early fall. And I think that there's never a great time to make a big career transition. I think it's always a scary thing where you just have to take the leap when the leap is there to be had. And as a longtime user of the platform, and I use all the social and digital content sharing tools, so I love all of that. But I felt like it was a huge opportunity for me to learn how platforms build these tools for users, publishers, content creators, influencers, people with blogs, like how platforms think about providing tools to content creators. And because I worked for about 20 years in the media and publishing industry, I felt like it would be a great opportunity to apply the skills that I had learned there to work on the platform side. So that's why I went.
I think what is really striking is not only have you had a pretty badass resume, but your path has been so amazing. Like in a way, you have taken a leap to another leap, and it's led you to this place now where you are. But it's really inspiring because you haven't played it safe. You didn't stay at Condé Nast for your career lifer. Or you didn't nestle into what some would say is a cushy editor-in-chief job. You keep pushing yourself. I think what you can provide to Pinterest now is so incredible because you come with this breadth of experience that really informs content for them.
I appreciate that. I definitely don't think of myself that way. So I accept the compliment, but I definitely see that in my career, I have been so, so lucky to be a creative person, to be on set of photo shoots and video shoots, to be a maker of the content, styling celebrity covers or styling models and being a fashion director and then an editor-in-chief. Like these are the types of jobs that are literally a dream.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that they aren't hard work. They are. And so to come to a place where I could learn about how platforms build the digital tools to make content creators' work come to life, I was like, that's something I haven't done before. And if I don't take this opportunity, I will regret it. So yes, I started this job during the global health crisis, but it was worth it.
So what are some of those new tools? I mean, I would love to focus specifically as it relates to interiors and to interior designers and content creators in that space. Obviously, I know there's so much you're doing for fashion and food and travel and work and life and everything, but I really want to focus on design because I think in a way, design is kind of the OG Pinterest.
Pinterest has a gigantic audience and people come to Pinterest to search for their next big idea. What we realized as a platform is that the ideas that people come month after month to Pinterest to search for are all produced by people. And we were not doing a good job of surfacing the people behind those great ideas. And that's why creators at Pinterest became one of our key priorities of the company, is to make sure that we were sourcing the people, the designers, the brands, the publishers, like Domino, of course, and make sure that we were creating tools and frankly, we're really at the beginning of our work, creating tools for them to present native content on our platform in a way that will be different than what they can find elsewhere. So really what the job is of me and my team is to work with the product team to create the best native publishing tools for publishers, individual creators, whether it's Athena Calderon or Matt Sanders or all the people that we're onboarding, and then make sure that they are equipped with the best practices to successfully publish on our platform. Because look, we understand that content creators have so many different platforms where they need to be. I mean, it seems like these days there's like a new platform every other day where you need to be, you got to download it, you got to start using it. And that's totally understandable. But we want to make sure that we are providing our professional creators with tools to be successful. And then, of course, we also have community creators where we teach like workshops, whether it's how to do an at-home lighting setup or learning from master and professional creators about, you know, styling tips. Like all that is a big part of the objective of me and my team to make sure that we're educating people on one-to-one and then, of course, at scale.
I could spend hours on Pinterest, and I do, thinking about ways to rethink my space or set the table for my next dinner party. I'm always scrolling through the latest ideas from Kelly Wurstler, Athena Calderon, or Joy Cho, and figuring out ways to make them my own. And as I know from working at Domino, the best inspiration comes from people. For the last decade, Pinterest has been the place for people to discover products, ideas, and inspiration. Now they're putting creators at the heart of their platform and building a space for them to get discovered and grow an engaged audience. Idea Pins, a new format, is an immersive way to create content with video, music, imagery, and easy-to-use templates. Whether it's a step-by-step tutorial for your next reno project, a list of ways to get creative with paint, or a DIY for fun marble planters, consider creating your next idea on Pinterest. Pinterest is a positive place for people who are fueled by their passions and want to share it with the world. What inspires you? Start creating on Pinterest today. I want to touch on the teaching and learning piece because in a way, that is also another very OG Pinterest founding principle, is that people go there to learn. And I think that that, to me, is personally inspiring, but capturing that and giving people new tools in order to do that, to receive and to teach.
I think that you and I are both, I would say, like highly visual people. And for me, I would say oftentimes what I have found really useful about Pinterest when I was a user is that there are oftentimes when there's something I'm interested, whether it's in the home decor or fashion or beauty space, that I have a sense of what I want, but I'm not quite sure. And so many times I don't have the words to describe the style that I'm interested in. I'll know it when I see it. And so when I start searching, and that's certainly what I find Pinterest to be such a useful tool for, is you start searching for related topics, and then you get taken down a path where you find that thing that you want.
I was in a phase 5 years ago where I was using Pinterest a lot to discover artists. I think that piece of it, because it is a visual search tool, I was really enjoying the algorithm understanding what I was liking and feeding me new artists and that discovery. And I think that piece of learning, also educating yourself as to, you know, I use a lot of platforms in that way. You know, I would say I use Cherish and First Dibs as an educating platform. I'm going to discover that designer and go down this rabbit hole of some Swedish or Czech or whatever it might be, someone I've never heard of that hopefully is not discovered yet and not yet incredibly expensive. But that rabbit hole of learning and discovery, and the more tools that I can experience that do that for me, the better.
That educational aspect is really important as well, because the Pinterest tool is a place where often people come to plan their lives, right? So you're doing a home renovation, you might do a shared board with your partner or your family member or your designer or whomever it is, and kind of like put a bunch of the inspiration that you have there so that you kind of have a shared aesthetic that you know what you want. At the same time, when we are working with our creators, we're able to provide them with insights on what is trending on our platform. Because people come to Pinterest to plan their lives, it means that we have a lot of insights about what people are searching for and what trends are. So, for example, like we saw that black houses had grown 774% since 2014. And look, I know I'm speaking to an audience of like highly fine-tuned professionals here. So probably you all knew that this was a trend, but me, as someone who's a novice in the home and decor space, like I didn't know that. And yes, so, you know, like black houses, you know, had explosively grown on our platform, like all black house exterior, like all those related search terms were things that people were really interested in. And I'm sure it was inspired by a lot of the designers that are, you know, your best friends, Jess.
That's hilarious that you said that, because I just had this conversation with our style director, Ben, and he was like, enough with the black houses, okay?
Right, right.
Because I was trying to pick this color for our place, and I went with like a deep, deep green, not black.
But that's our job, right? To be slightly ahead.
Yes, the tastemakers. Exactly.
Exactly.
That's like the beauty of seeing sort of the ecosystem of how a trend, of course, originates with tastemakers. And then, of course, you see how the content just grows and grows over time and inspires so many people truly around the world to surprise themselves to try something that they might never try. And that's what I think is really exciting about this idea of, I definitely think that the future of search is a visual medium. And that's why I really was inspired to come to Pinterest, because I was like, I want to be a part of that. I want to understand how this is all coming together. Because of course, as a user, I was very active, but being on the inside is illuminating in many ways.
I think video is also something really interesting we could talk about as it relates to design, and obviously seeing people on TikTok, you know, giving us home tours and showing how they're refinishing a table and really diving into video content. How are you guys thinking about that?
There are 1 billion video views on Pinterest every day. Users are twice as likely to make a decision or make a purchase based on a video-based piece of content on our platform. So, you know, it's no surprise that Pinterest and every other platform are leaning heavily into that, mainly because, especially when you think of a platform like Pinterest, okay, you know, we've been around for 10 years. The world of content has changed so much in that amount of time. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there's hundreds of billions of pieces of content on Pinterest, and a lot of those are static images. And so because of that, when you're scrolling your Pinterest feed, a video piece of content really jumps out at the eye. And so we are often telling our creators, you should be using video because it's just a different type of engagement than what you will get from a static pin. And look, from a user point of view, frankly, either is fine. You know, you might be searching for something. At the end of the day, you don't care whether that piece of content is video or static. We just think that we have a better opportunity as a platform to provide users with that learning and education piece of, like, if you're planting your first garden, right? Like, it's a little bit more useful if someone's showing you how to do it in a couple of different steps. So that aspect, I think, is what video is really useful for, that teaching and learning aspect. So we really are a platform that has embraced both. Currently, yes, we're absolutely leaning into video. And also, I would say it's more about the function of what video does, which it allows the content creator to have a bit more of eye contact, educational moment, and give a little bit more in a generous way to the user.
How are you empowering interior designers and architects to use the platform?
We have definitely just gotten started with the professional community. And that is something, you know, the professional designer community is something that we are really interested in, mainly because we know that they have, a vast depth of knowledge to share, and that they are a community of people that likely already have a Pinterest profile. It's probably likely, if you are an interior designer, say, for example, that you might have built a shared board with a client at some point. So that means your entry point to, like, understanding what our platform is and what function it serves is already, like, the ball is rolling down the hill. And so then we're able to engage with you to say, like, okay, here are the multiple different tools and launches that we have coming up to be able to be the most educated on what's coming up at Pinterest. Because obviously, having worked with, let's say, for example, Domino for many, many years, you all are people that are always top of mind for us. Like, we're always talking to people on your team and making sure that they're aware of what's happening at Pinterest. But I would say that the professional design community maybe didn't get addressed as much in the past. And so that's something that we are absolutely focused on moving forward. The core verticals for Pinterest are home decor and design, fashion and beauty, health and wellness, and food. So, you know, it's really the cross section of all those lifestyle categories that make Pinterest really rich. And as you said, Jess, like, home and design has been something that is core to this platform since the very beginning. It really, like, works well for that type of content. It works well for advertisers in that space. And of course, it works well for content creators. So that's something that we are going to be leaning into more moving forward.
As a user and not a designer, all you want is there to be more interior designers who are those experts, who are setting those trends, putting projects together so that you're there to really consume not just their finished projects, but their process in a way.
Totally. Yes.
What materials are they into? There still is the element of private boards and being able to collaborate in a private setting on Pinterest, but in a public-facing way, like what materials, what styles are they feeling? I think in our work at Domino, it's like, okay, well, like, what is the next thing? Like, who are the young designers who are setting the trends or discovering things and out in the world and global, certainly?
Because I come from the fashion world, let's say, for example, like the designer Rebecca Minkoff, like we did a whole series with her where we went on the full journey of the how she put together her fall presentation. So everything from the model castings to the manicures to the hair and makeup tests to fittings, and then of course the show itself. And so that's a really important way for us to give users a 360 view of how a creator puts a project together. And so hoping to replicate stuff like that with, of course, the design community, the interior design community as well, because that is something that we know for sure that Pinterest users are interested in.
How have you been staying inspired? Obviously, your background is in fashion. We just did an incredible story with you learning about your home and your collections and some things that are really important to your personal narrative. But you are diving into overseeing, as you said, home and design, craft, food. How is that impacting your personal inspiration?
So I have a 3-year-old, and one of the things that was really helpful during last year was that I had a person who lived in my house who had no idea what was happening. And so she was just going about her life. I mean, naturally, her entire schedule was totally altered, but she didn't really understand the gravity of the situation. And so when I think about how I stay inspired sort of in every aspect of my life, like I think about that time as a point in which I was able to say, like, you know, look at how this person experiences the world and try to like bring that into every part of my own day. I mean, obviously we were working from home and still are, and there's all manner of things that are still challenging, but that having a daily interaction with somebody who was able to live through a really challenging moment with
wonder and the lens of simply actually just having her parents around.
Exactly. So that's how I stay inspired. If you mean from a design point of view, I would say my own personal design aesthetic actually is a little bit childish as well. Like I am someone who, as I said before, like takes a lot of inspiration from this podcast because I feel like there's a lot of very refined sensibilities of the people who are guests on this platform, but I'm still into like gummy bears and kid stuff.
I've learned so much doing this podcast because designers and people I really admire have shared their sources. Facebook Marketplace really taking off in terms of connecting people who are selling things and just the whole vintage market and people really understanding how to sell things, how to purchase responsibly, how to buy in a really different way because of the pandemic and source in a really different way. I also love discovering things that other people aren't yet searching for. I think that's really cool to me. And I do use Pinterest for that. Is there a shape of furniture that I really love? And then like what can lead me to the next thing that is maybe not in everyone's saves already and is a little bit undiscovered? I really enjoy that piece of the discovery.
From a shopping point of view, the growth of shopping on our platform is something that we are very focused on, mainly because what we had heard from users is that they would make these boards and find things that they really liked on Pinterest and then save them to those boards, but then they couldn't get that thing.
And then leave.
Exactly. And so we definitely needed to build tools for that. And so we just launched shopping lists. And of course, you know, we allow our retailers to upload their catalog. You know, we have tools that allow retailers to ingest their full catalog onto Pinterest to make shoppable pins. We have a lens tool where if you're on a pin, you could use our lens tool to find related items that look like that thing or are that thing. So that's something that we're also really focused on. And, you know, I think that that's something in terms of the difference between shopping and buying are two very different things. And naturally, last year, as nobody was shopping anywhere other than on their phones, but that browse experience, that experience where you're like wandering through a market, like, you know, enjoying touching and feeling things like that, that's really fun, right? That's not buying. That's browsing, checking stuff out, you know, like seeing what catches your eye. And I think that, you know, certainly as someone who's a highly visual person, I missed that experience. And so one of the things that we are trying to build into our experiences, like, what is the way for us to allow our users to have the fun of the browse where there's no pressure to take an action like purchasing if you don't want to, but just enjoying the process of looking at things and seeing what catches your eye in the same way that you could when you would be in a store or a market. And so making sure that we're building tools for that into the product as well.
I also wanted to touch on the total boom in renovations because that is so real. We've seen our content around renovations just take off. Are you seeing those things trending as well?
Yes, I would say that on Pinterest, what we see is sort of the micro version of it. So what are the areas like? So it wouldn't necessarily be renovations overall. It would be like bathroom tiles, right? Because that's part of the renovation, but it is the branches of the tree, not the tree itself. Because I think that when people are using Pinterest, it's for that inspiration for the renovation itself, but the small elements that go into putting something together. It's also really fascinating from a global point of view. So like neon rooms are trending in terms of like the Gen Z audience. So transforming their bedrooms to look, you know, with neon tones and LED lighting, which I'm sure you're the design expert. So like, I didn't know that that was a trend. So mirrors with LED lights, blue LED light bedroom, LED light signs, like all of these are things that are trending on Pinterest for the Gen Z audience. And literally it's doubled year over year. And then we get to see international growth as well. So Pinterest is a global company. So all the different territories, we're seeing this type of growth in search terms like that in the home and decor space. So, you know, I think that I always get surprised by what I see in our different communities on the platform.
Any other top level trends? I mean, tile is something also we see people having so much interest in, not just, okay, what's next after subway tile, but really getting creative in terms of pattern, material, grout, the way things are combined. I think it's really exciting to see the way that people are embracing materials and really getting creative and rethinking and kind of actually taking control of materials that can be really accessible and just twisting them slightly. That I love.
I totally agree. I hear you on the like going down the content rabbit hole, but I think that things like what you just described are the really cool outcome of that, because that's sort of like when people take the things that they find in their inspiration and mix them together in unusual ways.
In challenging times, we lean on the things that support us, uplift us, and make us happy. In this signature franchise, Domino Editors ask our guests, quickfire style, about the 10 things that are making them happy. From the books that inspire them, to the personal items that tell their story, to the places they love to eat, travel, and feed their soul.
I want to talk about the things that are making you happy because I want to hear what's personally inspiring you. And I think in this last year, always the lens on kind of the things that support creative people, make you happy, or where you're finding personal inspiration. I always love that lens of discovery. Who are some of your personal design heroes?
There's really only one answer for me, and so that's the fashion designer Issey Miyake.
Am I right to say your mother worked with Issey Miyake?
Yeah, my mother works for him, and having seen the evolution of his career, you know, since the late 60s, early 70s, and you know, because I had such an up close and personal view on his work from the beginning, and seeing how someone just does not follow what other people are doing and then continue to find success in their own way decade after decade. I think that as I am now an adult and, you know, deep into my career, I can understand how strong you need to be in order to not be wavered by what other people are doing. Certainly, in our digital social content age, it's just so easy to just get buffeted around by the winds of what other people are doing. And so I definitely see as a personal compass, like thinking about, you know, the careers of, you know, avant-garde Japanese fashion designers, because that's the community that I grew up around, as something that these are people who had their own very distinct vision, very distinct point of view, and that's what they have done, and it has worked.
And that is literally timeless.
I totally agree.
In the story in Domino and conversation piece, you talk about these amazing Keith Haring t-shirts and the story of being on set in Keith Haring's loft. And it's an incredible story. So everyone should read that story on Domino and go buy the issue.
Yes, it was so fun.
What are you feeling personally? What color pairing are you into? What colors are you vibing with?
Red is always my favorite color. And then red and pink together, I always love that.
And is it all shades of pink?
I think it's like always a punchy red and a punchy pink. If I'm not wearing black, I'm usually wearing red.
When you are traveling again, what city are you excited or can't wait to go back to? And a favorite restaurant that you love?
In my previous life, I used to go to LA about once a month or once every 6 weeks. And, you know, I treated getting on the airplane like I was like going on a bus. Like I did it that often that I was like, oh, here we go on the merry-go-round again. And now, of course, after, 18 months of not doing that, there is nothing I want more than to just stay at the Sunset Tower Hotel and sit by the pool and have the lobster salad. So that's what I would like.
Favorite artist, and then if you have a design object, and that could be the object that we just spoke on.
Isamu Noguchi. I still love to go to his museum here in New York. And I think, you know, when you think about ways in which we have all needed to find ways to like calm down in the past year, I have often thought about his work and looked at his work to find that calm. And design object, oh my God, this is going to be the complete opposite. So I recently bought this super fun throw blanket from a young designer called Zoe Schlachter. And they have a little website and they make brightly colored, crazy design like throw pillows and blankets. That was the kind of punchy joy that I needed in my living room.
Favorite book or film that provides inspiration?
Film is definitely Singing in the Rain. I love that movie. I watched it on VHS when I was a child. I still watch it now. That's like pure joy. And then book, this past year, I read every single children's book under the sun and particularly loved this book called Keith Haring, The Boy Who Just Kept Drawing. And actually one of my high school friends, when she had seen the Keith pieces in my house, sent me that book. And I had no idea it existed. It's such a fun history of his life. And I've been loving reading that with my daughter.
Favorite texture and or material?
It's plywood. I was thinking about this and I was like, plywood is just the perfect material. It is cheap. You can stain it. You can varnish it. You can leave it raw. I love it. We have this giant bookcase in our living room that my husband made of plywood and plumbing pipe, and it's just the best.
Space you return to in your mind, iconic space that you just absolutely love.
This past weekend, I went to the New York Botanical Garden and saw the Yayoi Kusama exhibit, and it was 104 degrees. However, it was so much fun. My parents came. Of course, me and my husband went. My daughter went. Everyone had the best time. And I haven't been to the New York Botanical Garden in some time because it's a little bit of a hike, but it was like worth it. We had the best time. And I just was like, what kind of day of intergenerational fun, you know, can you plan like this? This is the best. So I highly recommend that as a place to unwind and enjoy time with the family.
Favorite plant or flower building on that?
In the year of video calls that we have lived on, I have gotten really into dried flower arrangements. Dried flowers, I think, are key in the video call world that we have been experiencing. So although I love live, luscious flowers, I will say for practicality purposes, a dried flower arrangement is key.
Aya, thank you so much. This has been so inspiring. I cannot wait to see where you take all of these amazing tools at Pinterest and really see that community grow, see our community of designers really using the platform in new ways. It's been so much fun, and I want to see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. And of course, on Design Time, I would have somebody renovating their house right above my apartment. So sorry if any of you heard all of this, but somehow it all was in the cards for today. So thank you so much, Jess, for having me. This was so fun.
Design Time is produced by Team Domino, with special thanks to Alex Redgrave, Linda Denahan, Aaron Cunningham, Madeline Montoya, Erica Maltz, Kay Wang, Britt Ashcraft, and Ali Alquiza. Our theme music is by the talented Alex Weinstein. If you like this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. See you guys next week, right here on Design Time.